Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, you guys, welcome to this week's episode of the Temple of Hoop podcast. I'm your co-host, Coach Maples, aka J Mapes, here as always with Kings. Kings, what is going on? Happy Sunday.
Yes, sir. Smooth Sunday. Great day of hoops, you know. Ready to talk some ball.
NBA's definitely turning up lately. Here with his hockey jersey on. Jordan, what's going on?
It's a vintage throwback. St. Louis, Wayne Gretzky, dude, only played 18 games for the St. Louis Blues. I'm chilling, man. It's March. It's March Madness. College basketball worked all year to get to this point. So, yeah, man, this is the best time of year, baby.
Yeah, make sure on the side, though, make sure y'all tap into Jordan. He will have, I'm sure, some bracketology for you coming up soon with the picks and all that. So make sure you stay tapped in with him. Starting out, go straight to Phoenix. KD broke record shop early, 3-0. Man, just off the eye test, you can't really double either. It's been dominant, three wins. They pull away today. KD goes for 37. Book has over 30. A little chirping between Luka and Book, which I love to see. I missed that. I missed that NBA. I'm glad that's a budding rivalry. Hopefully they get the bump in the playoffs. But to start with you, King, what do you see right now? Just, you know, the first few games between Book and KD.
Great offense. Hard to guard. Hard to guard. You know, you try to stop one, another will get his, get a favorable matchup, get a favorable look. And then CP3, you know, there were possessions where they were trying to double off CP3 and they're letting him catch and shoot wide open. You know, however washed you think CP3 is, he can still shoot. And if you're going to give him, you know, practice shots, he's going to hit them. You know what I mean? So they're definitely formidable offensively shooting the ball. I think they might run into issues attacking the rim and gain points inside, not just because of, you know, the rim pressure situation and having rim pressure threats, but also just Aiden. I mean, it was kind of troubling. He was struggling posting up Tim Hardaway Jr., getting the chair pulled on him, you know, not getting a good enough steal for have Bullock come up behind him and snatch it from him. You know, he'll be good in a rim running situation, but the fact that, you know, you can switch smaller guys on him and win possessions like that is kind of troubling. But with all that said, they still got enough firepower to overcome that. But can they consistently hit the shots? That's always what it comes down to, you know. Can you consistently hit the shots?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of what we all pictured it to be, right? I don't know if we pictured it to be this fast, this quick. They haven't really been tested, though, to be honest. I mean, playing the Bulls, Hornets is like whatever, and then playing a Mavericks team that literally can't guard a statue is another thing. I mean, KD was out there, like, busting up Tim Hardaway Jr. all day, you know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. I do think the rim pressure thing could rear its head at some point. The Suns are 18th in rim percentage shots at the rim, so at some point they got to get to the rim. But the West is wide open, dude, and like we've all been saying, you know, they're gonna pick on Denver, getting Nikola Jokic in a pick and roll. Memphis, you know, we've been talking about their issues all year, and now, you know, who knows when Ja's gonna be back. And what that looks like. The Clippers are fugazi. I mean, they finally get a win with Russell Westbrook. So, I mean, the outside of that, it's like Phoenix is the only team you really trust in the West. You know, you got KD, you got Book. That's the most formidable offensive tandem in the West right now.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you know, those are all good points. I also think that, you know, this has been what the NBA is. a bunch of teams that all have their weak and strong points. There's no really one true dominant team. I think it's been like that in the West the last couple of years, if I'm being honest with you. Even last year, the Warriors weren't expected to do what they did. So it's just going to come down to, you know, who's playing well, who gets hot at the right time, and most importantly, who's healthy. So I think those are going to be the two biggest factors going forward. I agree with you guys with the rim pressure. It's just that Book and KD are such insane three-level shot makers. KD's probably more mid-range in threes now as he gets a little older. I think Book still gets to the cup at a decent rate. Yeah, the Aiden stuff was kind of funny to see. I just, man, it's just hard to stop that team. When you literally cannot double team one of those two wings, or the other's going to get off, or somebody else is going to be wide open. They're just going to be a bear to stop. But team's going to have to be extremely switchable at the wing positions to guard that team. And you are going to have to make guys defend. I think that's how you get the Phoenix Suns in trouble. You have to make Book and KD really guard on the other end and then attack Chris Paul. And I think that'll be the best bet as far as challenging the Suns. How many teams can do that? I don't know. That remains to be seen, but that's the beauty of the NBA. I think those styles are definitely going to make fights when these playoffs get here, man. I heard Kings today. I'm kind of leaning with him. I'm not going to lie, man. I got to see the Warriors at full strength, but that might be my pick. Because I'm kind of out on Memphis. I do think Denver is you know, I'm higher on Denver than you two are. Obviously, we've been back and forth with that for a few episodes now. But yeah, man, the West is wide open, man. I think about three or four teams can seriously say like we can win this right now. Maybe even more than that if I think about it.
But Jason, the Warriors can't win on the road, and it's like, this is an issue that's ongoing all year. Like, we've been talking about it, like, okay, they'll figure it out, but it continues to happen.
I mean, like I said, every team has, you can go to every team from 1 through 10 and they have an issue that, you know, you can uncover. So like, that's what I say. It's, you got every team, you can say, but they do this, but they do this. Denver's the number one seed and you guys are telling me, but they're going to attack Joker at pick and roll in the playoffs. You know what I mean? So it's like every team you can do something like that with. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, it's an issue for everybody. And that's kind of what it's going to be about when stars step up, which is, you know, that's NBA basketball. So you guys are, is Phoenix, like, is that who you're comfortable picking right now or your favorite right now?
I still go with Golden State in the series over Phoenix. I just, like I said, I don't trust Aiden enough. Golden State has the perimeter defense for Phoenix to make KD and Book play one-on-one. I think have all the teams left in the playoff series, they have the capable defenders to do that, you know, both at the guard and the wing spot. And then also you have Draymond, who can roam as well as play small on Aiden and not be punished, because Aiden's not good at punishing the small ball anymore, it seems like. So, my only concern with picking Golden State, man, they are so bad on the road. Like, it's horrific levels of just incompetence. And I tweeted that the Lakers were going to win today because they're just, though, it didn't matter that Curry was coming back. One, he was rusty. Two, it's on the road game in Los Angeles. I knew they just weren't going to be good. And they weren't. Like, and like, you know, their fans try to play it off, but this is, how many games now into the season? You have 7 wins on the road. Like, you're up there with Houston Rockets, San Antonio Spurs of the league, and you're trying to win a championship. Like, it's just, that's the only reason where if somebody picks Phoenix, I wouldn't even blame them, because like, bro, you cannot just be that bad on the road and try to win a championship.
The only they're the to King's point, only team in the West with under 10 wins on the road. They have 7-24. They're 7-24 on the road. The next two worst teams on the road, Utah at 11-21, New Orleans at 11-22. So every team 1 through 10 has at least 10 wins on the road, except the Warriors. So that is definitely
to that point. No team has ever made an NBA Finals being under 500 on the road.
Yeah.
Memphis is 12-20. Phoenix is 15-19. Minnesota's 14-18. Dallas was 12-19.
This might be the year. Hey,
that's Joker, what I'm saying.
Joker better do it, man. Joker better do it.
Denver 16-15 on the road.
And the Clippers are over 500, right, on the road?
They're 18-18 on the road.
Yeah, so they're right there.
Yeah, so yeah, this if this is going to be a year, like King said, this would be the year. I just think, you know what? If you're looking at the rosters 1 through 10 and you add in the injury, the parity is just possibly like at its peak between injuries and just the talent spread out in the West. You know what I mean? I think those two factors have the margins are thin. Like even right now, with all these teams struggling, there is 3 games between the 5 seed and the 10 seed. Like 5 game winning streak, you're in a 4 or 5 matchup. 5 game losing streak, you're in a 1 game situation for your season. You know what I mean? So I'm so excited about how this is going to pan out. It's like the playoffs are starting in the West, basically. If you're sitting in that 5 through 10 spot, like the playoffs have begun. So I'm looking forward to see how that stuff goes.
You ready?
Showtime
on May 3rd. Summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Moving on. Jordan, your Bucks.
Oh,
bro. I believe 17 of 18, was it, before I lost the other night? Was it 17 of 18?
Yeah, there's 16 in a row, 17 of 18. Yeah, it's been a nice run.
Yeah, so in that stretch, I feel like, personally, me, Giannis has closed the gap on what we thought was a foregone MVP conclusion. Yep. When you have a run like that, I think that definitely is needle-moving. In that stretch, Milwaukee far and away, or not even far and away. Best net rating in the league. Cleveland, honestly, not far behind. The Bucks are at 10.7 net rating. Cleveland's right behind at 10.2. Just not the same amount of wins. Just tell us what's been going right in this you know, tour run. What's been going right for the Bucks, Jordan?
Giannis has gone right. So that's the most important thing. And you know, if you watch the Sixers game last night, devastating loss. I mean, awful loss. There's no one to blame but themselves. They kept turning the ball over left and right, but Giannis really didn't have a great second half, and they lost the game because he didn't have a great second half. So Giannis has to be good for this team to be good. You know, Chris Middleton doesn't have his legs back. He hasn't been very good since he's come back. He's still getting it together. Jay Crowder, for some reason, didn't play that much last night. But I mean, as a whole, the Bucks team, they're knocking down threes. Grayson Allen finally looks playable, right, which he does in the regular season. It's not going to be that way come the postseason.
Well, I think just against Boston.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, but
you definitely can't play against Boston. But, I mean, you know, this team been one of the best defensive teams all season long. Like, that's what they've been hanging their hat on, dude. And it's been consistent all year. And now you add in Jay Crowder to that, and it only makes this defensive team that much better because Jay Crowder is a very switchable wing. He's obviously not as good as he once was, but all he got to do is knock down open threes and play defense. That's it. That's all they're asking him to do. And the crazy thing is, too, is like, you know, Bobby and Chris are both coming back from their injuries, so they aren't even up to speed yet. Like, once they get going, this team is scary. You know, last week I said that the East Coast or Boston, I'm starting to change that, especially after watching that horrific Boston game today against the Knicks, dude. Like, Boston does not like to take shots at the rim, dude. They literally just like to fire threes.
Hey, I'm glad you said that because I was gonna make a point, and I was about to preface it with, I haven't watched them enough to say this, but I'm glad that you made that point. I'll make my point after you go.
Oh, no, go ahead.
So I'm gonna say, we're on Milwaukee right now. We're gonna get to that in a minute, Kings. What have you seen from Milwaukee?
At some point, and you saw in the finals, that shooting variance always catches up. That shooting variance always catches up, and that's why rim protection pressure matters a lot. If you're going to get rid of the mid range, right? If you're going to get or not, if you're going to reduce the mid range in your game, rim pressure is a must. Like that, it's just no other explanation, because that's your best consistent look. Because a 3-point shot, no matter how good you shoot it, is not a consistent shot. You're talking about the best 3-point shooters shoot 40%, right? Like, if you're attacking at the rim and you're a good rim pressure threat, that's 60 to 70%, you know what I'm saying, consistently, if you're at, if right. you're getting the rim. So it's like, if you're going to remove the mid-range and the shot variance to make keep defenses honest, then you better be getting at the rim. So if you're not getting at the rim at a high level, you're going to live and die by that 3-point shot. And that's what you're seeing, you know, with a 3-point shooting happy team like the Celtics. You're going to have these head-scratching losses, because it's like, bro, how do you generate offense if your shot chart is rim pressure and threes, and you start selling for threes and you stop trying to get to the rim? It's always a recipe for a disaster at some point. And, yeah, I mean, they've been the best team all year. Milwaukee caught them. Now they're trending down. You can't – if you're a Celtics, you can't rely on what you did 3 months ago anymore. You're not the one seed in the East. You're not playing well as of now. You can't rely on what you was doing 3 months ago. At this point, you have to change up and start playing better.
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys are correct. I agree with the offense. I also think that tonight, the Knicks are the hottest team in the East right now. So I think that's also has something to do with it. But
about the game before this Knicks game, though, Maples.
They played the Knicks again. They played Knicks twice in a row. Remember, Randall went crazy?
Yeah. So, I forgot. Yes. I forgot. It was kind of weird. I forgot because the Knicks played another game before they played the –
Miami. But Brandon went crazy on Miami. Then he went crazy on the Celtics.
I forgot the Celtics played the Knicks twice in a row.
It was like –
No, it wasn't the Knicks. It was the Nets. And then they almost lost the Cavs. Remember, they almost gave
up. Right. Okay.
And then they lost. They gave up a 28-point lead to the Nets.
Yep.
28-point lead to the Nets. They gave that up, and they ended up losing by double digits. So that's what I've been mean. They've not been playing well, like, at all.
And I think, you know what it is, and first of all, I think, you know, Tatum's a fabulous player. I used to say things. He's proven me completely wrong. You know, I had to take the L in the whole Ingram-Tatum debate. Probably one of my biggest L's ever. But I hate that a guy that talented has become that three dependent. I mean, he's a good athlete. He's skilled. He can handle, has a very quick first step for his size. And it just, his reliance on the three ball is a little bit troubling. I think, like, it leads to him having these shoot nights like tonight. Like, it's just all threes. And he won't put pressure on the rim. And I think Big said it the best, you know, he got yelled at a lot about, you know, he used to shoot a lot more mid-range, and he's removed it completely from his game. And so he ends up even taking these, you know, step-back threes, which he can make, but are up and down. That's not a consistent shot. Or he tends to over-penetrate sometimes and try to force it through size or help, opposed to taking, you know, it had to be like, maybe, you know, 3 to 5 mid-range pull-ups a game. Just to keep a defense honest, don't over-penetrate. I think, you know, I think it's a – we'll get into this later, but I think stars have to have variance in their scoring. I think that lends itself to them being productive in high-leverage situations. Okay, you take this away, I'll go here. Take that away, I'll go here.
But I think they're going to be the ones – they're going to be the main ones to see the coverage where they need variance for.
Right.
Like, they're going to be the ones seeing that coverage. Right.
I'm looking forward to see how they're going to be defended and how they react to it. So, especially, and also Jaylen Brown has, like, again, two explosive wings, and it's the rim pressure is not there because they've leaned completely into, you know, they play like kings. Remember Utah was number one seed a couple years ago, and they just got an insane amount of threes up and beat everybody just on math all regular season. They just outshot, like, they made a math problem. It was impossible to overcome the amount of threes they were getting up every game. But in the playoffs, when, you know, teams started switching, pay more attention to it, they had nothing else to go to.
You saw the Celtics go farther with it. I mean, one, Yeah. My main thing is number one, last year Middleton was hurt. Like, I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, Bucks, yeah.
The Bucks were winning that series and Middleton was healthy. That's number one to me. Number two, they played better perimeter defense than Utah. We always said that was the issue with Utah. They couldn't keep nobody in front. They kept relying on Rudy to bail them out. So they had the math equation, but they actually had the defense to complement said math equation. So it was why they went far. But again, when they came up against a team that was as good offensively, that was as good defensively, but had more variance in how they played offense, you saw what happened. You saw what happened. They couldn't keep up. They got exposed. You had the tweets that Jaylen Brown can't go left. You know what I mean? Like, it's like when you don't have the variance, when you run into a team that's as skilled as you, you're going to get in trouble every time because you have to have – what did Jordan and Kobe have? You have to have counters. You have to have counters. You have to be able to counter from multiple places on the floor if you're a star, because otherwise they're going to take you out your game. That's what you saw in Tatum in the final.
Right.
I also think the other thing too is, you know, last year they were historically good on defense in the second half of the season.
And
this
year not as good defensively.
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do. Like, I love Rob Williams, but he's just always just it's always being dinged up with something. And I think if he's healthy, they have a chance to get back to that because he's a special rim protector.
And he has gives him last year they were excellent.
Yeah, I'm saying, and he gives him I also think he gives him a vertical, you know, some vertical spacing, somebody who can catch lobs at the rim, because that's not Horford obviously anymore, barely ever was. So again, you guys, man, you know, I picked Boston. You know, I despise that team fight. I don't hate any other NBA team except the Boston Celtics. But so I hope, like I said, I've been hoping I was wrong. It looks like the Bucks have, you know, if not passed them, insane. Like the gap is non-existent. They're on equal footing at the most. So we'll see what happens. I think we said this last week. It feels like a two-team race in the East now that the Nets finally blew everything up. So we'll see what happens with that.
Still don't trust the Sixers.
Yeah. Moving on, we just mentioned this team, third hottest team in the or third maybe the third best team in the East right now, hottest team in the East, 9 straight wins, the New York Knickerbockers. Jordan, I gotta ask you, do you have any like any gambling or like any type of data about this team? About this team? That like kind of explains what they are right now, because it's kind of like this was out the blue. It just Julius Randle came out of the All-Star break. He's at 32 a game, 51% 3-point shooting on 11 attempts a game since the All-Star break. Obviously, that's unsustainable. But I think even like for 10 games after a break, that's an insane tear to be on.
Yeah, no, I mean it's a good point you bring up. We were literally just talking to some NBA futures on Tap Room tonight, and you know they asked me about the Knicks and if I thought there was any value because they're 10-1 plus 10,000 to win the title, which you would think is like really high for a team that's, you know, fourth or fifth in the East and is the hottest team in basketball. But I think it goes to how the market sees the Knicks. Like, they're pretenders. Like, I don't think this is a serious team. We've seen how Thibodeau teams play in the playoffs. Like, this team, if you look at minutes played, they got three guys in the top 20 in minutes played.
Tibbs, baby!
You know what I'm saying? Like, it comes to rear its head in the playoffs. And we saw this 2 years ago when they were, like, one of the best regular season teams. They get in the playoffs and they can't get a shot.
Well, I've said this to Kings, I think, and this is the Tibbs credit because he's that locked in. They prepare for everything like it's a playoff game. They don't have another gear. So they give you get their best shot in the regular season. I think when teams match that in the playoffs, that's where they traditionally run into issues. But it's just two things that I feel are different than last year. One's Jalen Brunson is a game changer. All that Luka didn't have help garbage is completely out the window for me. I know what I'm looking at. He didn't just get that in one off season.
I mean, you saw it in the Utah. Right.
the other thing is, just me being a very big Julius Randle fan, him deciding to use his right hand, he still doesn't use it enough for me, but deciding to use his right hand a lot more than traditionally has really opened up his game.
Yeah.
It's opened up another level of play for him. And, you know, he's going to go all NBA for the second time in 3 years. It's funny, I was looking at the players who've actually done that. It's a crazy list as far as like where he would rank as a player, you wouldn't think he'd be that high. But the guys who are about to accomplish what he's about to accomplish is kind of crazy when you look at who's done it.
The only thing I'll say about Jalen Brunson is, like, you know, we could sit here and say, like, he has been a game changer. But statistically, like, he's not, like, crazy good. Like, EPM, he's only plus 2.1, which puts him about a little bit above average of a normal NBA player.
Yeah, but I'm talking about just look at the main thing he did was he took Julius Randle out of the point forward thing. Yeah. You just focus on scoring, and that alone, to me, has been more impactful than whatever the stats, those advanced stats would show. To me, that's what I've seen. He's never knocked Julius Randle off to a more of a attacking, slashing forward than the point forward.
I just think in a playoff series, because like right now they're gonna be facing the Cavs.
That's a terrible matchup in my opinion.
Yeah, the Cavs are gonna wax. They would wax them. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't say wax. I just think Julius Randle going against double bigs is tough. That'll be like an old school series. I think, you know, that's at the most they're scoring low 100s in that game at the most. That's not going to be a high scoring series at all.
I'll take the better defensive team, and I'll take the best player in that series in Donovan Mitchell. You know what I mean? So that's the thing with the Knicks, dude. Is like Jalen Brunson. We've seen multiple times this year when he plays good teams, they put length on him and he struggles. You know what I mean? And the good thing about playing the Cavs is, like, the Cavs have Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell. Neither of those guys can guard a statue. So it's beneficial for Jalen Brunson in that series. But you're right. Like, the rim protection in that series, like, it's not going to allow the Knicks to get much at the rim. Like, they're going to have to settle for mid-range and three-point shots. They're very high-variance team. Like, Julius Randle is not going to shoot 38 to 40% from three come playoff time. I'm sorry. We saw this against the Hawks 2 years ago when he had a career year from three, shooting 40% from three that season, or 38%. In the playoffs, he couldn't buy a bucket, you know, because the everything changes in the playoffs.
That's why I said having Brunson is taking him off that creation role. He's just focusing on slashing and finishing now. And then if he gets a double, he can make a play. He's not initiating offense nearly at the level he was. But, yeah, he did not play Will's first playoff series. I agree with that. That definitely is like probably what people are holding out on, kind of crowning him with wherever.
So who people think he's ranked? Knicks could beat in a 7-game series
right now.
Yeah,
I mean
the Hawks.
Yeah, the Hawks. The Hawks are not good this year.
They're not.
Their best chance at the Eastern contenders is Philly, and even then,
I was gonna say Philly. I think Cleveland, the double bigs, is tough for their leading scorer. Philly, yeah, I think, you know, they don't really have a matchup for him. Tobias Harris is cool, but I think he physically overwhelmed him as the series went on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's probably in the East. That's in the far as first-round series go, that's probably what I'm most interested in seeing the Cavs versus the Knicks. I think, you know, a lot of the other stuff wouldn't be as competitive. You know what I mean? Looking at the top of the – like, I think Milwaukee and Boston, they might drop a game in whatever series they play. You know what I mean? And right now the Nets are holding on to six, but like it's like fading. They won two in a row. I just in the playoff series against Philly, do they have enough?
Yeah, I don't know. The Philly's hard to trust in the playoffs, dude. You know what I mean? Like they always underperform.
Listen, I'm a Mikal Bridges. I like Mikal Bridges. But if he beats Harden and it be in the playoff series, that's the number one guy. Hey, man, pack it up. Harden go back to Houston and B, put the trade request in. It was never going to happen, bro. I'm sorry. If he does that after being traded midway through the year with no continuity, I say my Harden slander will enter a new zone if that happens? Boy.
Can't wait.
Yeah, I'm excited for the playoffs, man. That's going to be – man.
The West playoffs is going to be crazy.
Yeah, styles make fights. That's all I'm going to keep saying, man. Styles definitely make fights. Something I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on. Me and Kings have done this. We've had analytics guys on, like, interesting conversation. So the Nets won a game, and Jacques Vaughn was a little bit critical of Mikal Bridges' shot profile. And then he was asked in the post game about, you know, his approach to, you know, where he'd get shots and, you know, what he wants to do as far as looking for his offense. And man, this is what he said. I know the analytics with the threes and layups, but we're basketball players at the same time. We work on our games. Sometimes you can't get to the rim. You just can't. There's a lot of other space on the floor that you can get to. And if you work on it enough and you're confident enough, those can be your layups. Shout out Clint Parks. He said it first. It's a layup if you grind. Kings knows where I stand. Kings know where I stand on this. I've definitely shifted my thinking to, you know, it's probably more of a star shot given with how the league is. But I do think teams who neglect mid-range jumpers completely are absolutely misguided, and I don't think they'll ever win, because in the playoffs, like, we've seen recent championships be won in the mid-range. In the bubble, AD and LeBron were crazy from there. They made them unguardable. We all know the Kawhi story in Toronto. We've seen Jordan and Kobe in the past do that, even though the league has changed. Even, you know, Steph and Clay, when guys close out hard in a three-point shot, they are elite mid-range shooters. KD, obviously the best in the NBA. Kings, where do you stand with, you know, Mikal Bridges, you know, comments? They were on the back of Jock Vaughn's post-game comments talking about he wants Mikal to focus on threes and layups. And that was Mikal's response to what Jock Vaughn said about, you know, kind of not being robotic and, you know, just taking a shot that was there and not being able to penetrate. It's kind of, what was your thought? Who do you side with here in this situation? As far as, you know, what Mikal said versus what Jock said.
I mean, you know, Jock Vaughn, he's a disciple now of the modern NBA, the analytical aspect of it. He's just doing what the company line is. I mean, when you all these analytic guys who's hired on a team, that's how they want the shot profile. They say, go to the rim. If you're not going at the rim, take the three-point shot. But, you know, the players, like they say, it's a robotics way of playing, in the sense that if you're trying to get a good feel, if you're trying to, you know, get yourself going, you know, as a player, when you work on your game, you like certain spots, right? There's certain spots you like in the practice setting, where if you get to this spot, it's like, man, if I get here, this is going in. Right. If you don't stop me from getting here and I got a good look, this is going in. And it's every time. And even if you're not even a star, like, even just honestly, we can just talk about just regular people who hoop. Like regular people who hoop, if you pick up a ball and you're hooping, you're practicing by yourself, you got a spot on the floor where if you get here, you rise up here, it's going in. Like that's just how it is with people who hoop. You know what I mean? So it's like you can't remove that. You know what I mean? You can't remove that because, you know, you're only as good as what you work on. You know what I mean? And if you're working on those shots, if you're working on certain aspects of the floor, and you're on a mat from that area, that there's no way you can say remove that from somebody's game. That doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? If they're hitting at a high level at that part of the floor, like, that doesn't make any sense. So, you know, I agree with Mikal. Like, you can't do that. You just and it's not good. And it's not good when you're predictable, because then you become
right. Yes, yes.
Because then when they allow teams to play defense like they do every playoffs, you're easier to guard. You're just easier to guard. Like, you saw with the Rockets, saw with the Celtics when they played the Warriors, saw with the Utah Jazz. It's easier to scheme. It's easier to guard against you. And even if you hit your shots, teams know what to expect, right? And when it gets to close games or when they get behind, it's like, okay, we're behind, but we know that they want these shots. So if these shots don't go in, they're not going to score on us. So we just have to get this run in, and we know we can get a stop because we know what they're going to do. You know what I mean? Like, you can't – it's no pressure on the other team because they know what you're – you know what they know what you're going to try every single time. You have to have variance, and it helps your guys get into rhythm, helps your guys, you know, feel good knowing that, hey, if I can incorporate this, I can get to this part of the floor, I know I'm going to score. So when we need a bucket, hey – my three's not falling, I can't get to the rim, but if I get to this point where I've hit this shot 50 times in a row in practice, I'm gonna nail it. You know what I mean? Like, right. That has to be included.
Right. But before I pass with Jordan, he went on to add even more. I'm just picking spots and reading the defense, you know, what Kings just said. If they back up too much, I have that shot. If they're up, I can drive. So just mixing it up and trying to play at all three levels. I don't think analytics is great on guys like Steph Curry shooting 40-footers, and he's making all of them. So people work on their games, and you trust it and believe in it. So why not shoot it? Like basically what you just said, Kings. Jordan, your thoughts kind of on what Mikhail said and just in general about, you know, the mid-range shot.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what King said. I agree with what Mikhail said. You know, at the end of the day, like, if you shoot 50% from the mid-range, that is a layup. You know what I mean? But the problem is that every team shoots under 50% from the mid-range. So that's where it becomes an issue, because at that point, then you are taking a bad shot, because the closer you get to the rim, the higher the percentage. Obviously, if you shoot 40% from three, that's equivalent to shooting 60% from two, right? The math is just, that's how it balances out. So do I think a mid-range shot is a good shot? I absolutely do. But if you're a team that's shooting 35% of your shots from mid-range, like the Phoenix Suns, and a lot of this data is before KD, right? 35% of their shots coming from the mid-range. However, they're only shooting 43% from the mid-range. You know, that's not good offense, in my opinion.
But no, I agree.
It can be good, right? Like KD shooting a mid-range shot, dude, he's shooting that 55%. Now that's a bucket.
Yeah, I think, well, obviously it's the same thing with threes, right? Well, who's shooting it? You know what I mean? It's like, if do I want Herb Jones to take an open three or drive that shit? Herb Jones to drive. It's who it is. That's for threes too. Who's shooting it? You know, I think the other would be the other against the Portland was playing the Lakers, and people were yelling because, you know, the Lakers were leaving, you know, Tybull Matisse open. I remember Kings was like, no, that's the strategy. That's what I'm saying. So it's like, that's kind of how it is right now. To me, it's like, who's shooting it before I factor all that in? And also, whenever I talk about stuff like this, it's in the scope of playoff basketball.
Yeah.
And, you know, the variance in offense is always going to matter. And we saw the Celtics, as great as they were, it kicked them in the butt in the finals. That was their main issue. They had no variety whatsoever offensively, and the Warriors did.
Yep.
They have a high-moving offense. They got guys cutting. Steph and Klay will take mid-range shots if you press up on them, or, you know, they get you to pump fake on a three and step in. Exactly. Jordan Poole will take floaters. You know, it's just they have different ways to attack you. And I think that's what it's about more than anything else, more than the percentages or how much you shoot it. As long as, like, I will take this, I will make this.
Yeah.
As far as, like, right now, talking about going back to, you know, what we're saying about Boston, we know they won't take any mid-range jumpers unless it's into the shot clock and it's, a you know, one of those grenade balls with 2-1, 2-3, 2-1. I got to shoot this.
Yep.
And I think that's the, you know, that's kind of the issue there. Last thing, man. Back to this Western Conference play-in. Essentially, right now, it's shaping up. You got about six teams fighting for four spots right now.
Yeah.
And this is kind of crazy. So you got – obviously, I throw Portland there too. Portland and OKC have the same record. So you got – obviously, it's a lot. You got – I think Golden State is at five – and three games back is Utah at 10. Lakers and Utah are tied at 10. And another half game behind that, you got OKC and Portland. So 3.5 games between 12 and 5. So you got eight teams for those spots. Let's just talk playing here. I'll start with you, Jordan. You were going second most of the show. Who do you think are the four teams that secure play-in spots and why?
All right, I'm going to go Clippers. Obviously, the best roster of the remaining teams. I'm going to go Pelicans just because I think at some point they're going to get healthy. Fingers crossed. I don't know if I can take the Thunder because today they come out and say SGA is on a minutes restriction for the remainder of the year. So,
oh, you know, Hickey hit that. But I think you called this too a couple episodes ago. Like at some point, Hickey's going to be like, nope. What do you think you're doing, sir?
Yeah. So I'm gonna take them out, and then I'm gonna say Lakers, Blazers get the last spots. I think the Jazz are they're definitely fading out. They can't win on the road either. And I think they're trying to lose games. So I'm gonna be reluctant. I'm gonna say the Blazers are gonna get in there. Lakers are gonna get in there.
Well, so you got in that scenario, you have either Dallas or Minnesota falling out of the playoffs.
Oh no, hold on.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. On 7-10. My bad. I thought it was.
I said seven.
All right, so I got Wolves, Clippers, Lakers, Pelicans.
Okay, that's okay. That makes more sense. That was like, okay. Wolves, so you got Dallas catching Memphis, Minnesota for six, is Minnesota dropping down.
Yeah, I
That's
think
not
Dallas is gonna finish ahead of Minnesota.
happening. That's not happening.
All right. Kings, go ahead. Give me yours, bro.
That's not happening. No cash coming back. We're gonna get the sixth seed. We're already up on beat them already. That is
You're
not happening.
coming down on Cat. Now you're saying he's coming back. We're gonna get the sixth.
Look. He still shoots the ball at a high level. He scores 20 a game. He matters for us offensively. He's gonna come back. We're gonna get the sixth seed. The play-in is gonna be the Mavericks, the Clippers, the Pelicans, and the Lakers. A fire play-in yet again. Playing his cash hit since the bubble. We are getting firepower every play-in tournament. The Western play-in tournament will be another movie. The Lakers will be there yet again. Zion will probably be there. The Clippers will be there. We might get the Battle of LA finally in a high stakes game between the two. So,
Who's gonna win that
hey.
one? Because the Clippers take that game too
If
every time they play.
Russell Westbrook is playing, the Lakers are winning that game. That's just the bottom line.
Oh, I see. That's a new. That
That's
is a new
true.
element to the.
So, if he wasn't playing, I would have been concerned. Ah, man, but he's playing. So, congratulations. Whoever plays the Clippers in the play-in, congratulations. You're going to the playoffs. But yeah, It's gonna be playing. It's gonna be box office again. Box office again this year.
All right, so I am going to go Clippers. Go Clippers at seven, Dallas at eight, New Orleans at nine, and then the Lakers at 10.
No ball, Maples. No ball.
Huh?
No ball. Shout out to Minnesota, sixth seed.
I got man, I just Dallas just it was evident when they made the trade. It just you it's hard to outscore somebody every game. You can get hot, but they just they out you can't. I think just not a not a just a stable way of winning, trying to outscore everybody. And I think Luka and Kyrie are fantastic offensive players. But
Should
if your ticket to winning is, hey, you guys have to score 35 efficiently every night, that's a lot, even for those two who are special offensive players.
at the fact of Minnesota, right? We haven't had Rudy in often. We hadn't have Cat in often, but we're still a six seed.
Dude.
But we're still the six seed. How? Why are we the six seed? Because we have Jaden McDaniels, we have Anthony Edwards.
I'll say
We have
Yosef.
Shlomo, we have Taurean Prince. We play defense on the outside. The Lakers fans saw it. They wanted minimum players to cook Jaden McDaniels and Rudy Gobert. Look, if you can cook those guys, you're a max contract player. So I don't know why you're asking veteran minimum guys to do that. If you can cook those two, you're a max contract player. But I guess people don't watch Minnesota. No surprise. So they found out the hard way how to play defense. But that's why we're the sixth seed. We play perimeter defense. We're the best in the
Minnesota
league.
just cost me so much coin this year, dude.
Hey, we were up and down, bro. You picked us at a bad time, but hey, that perimeter defense, we gonna play some perimeter defense. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, man. So I'm interested in these head-to-head matchups. So I think me and Kings have the same 6 through 10.
Yep.
New Orleans Lakers. That's so funny. But well, there's a draft swap on the line, playoff spot on the line. Two fan bases that despise each other. That'll be so funny.
I'm already penciling that Pelicans Lakers game in four games. That's
Hey,
gonna be a timeline war.
we might have to run that playback that night. Just, do you feel me? Run a
Hey,
playback.
we gotta get Chris in on that because that's gonna be a timeline war for
Man,
sure.
it's gonna
I
be
need
crazy.
LeBron back though.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how that goes. I think the scary part with the LeBron situation, they said like reevaluate in 3 weeks, not like back in 3 weeks. So,
Yeah.
but I'll say this, even in his last couple years, he's been on the early side of returning most of the time. So,
He's not the type to jeopardize his whole career for anything like that. If there was really, I don't think it's a structural damage issue, but I do think it's a stress situation, kind of how what AD was kind of going through, where it's like you really don't want to put that pressure on him, you know, if it's not needed, especially at this age. So I think they're just taking precaution.
Right. Man. Good stuff, guys. Make sure you follow RIP Kings, bro, on Twitter. Make sure you follow Jordan Rules TSP. Hopefully,
You gotta go to the picks.
I know that's cool. I'm doing that after we go close now. Okay, that's okay. That closes the show. Jordan gotcha, Rules man. TSP, myself, JJ Miller 55 underscore MST. Jordan, before we get out of here, picks for the week.
Whew. All right. We're going to the WCC conference tomorrow. First pick, we're going St. Mary's -6 against BYU. I think this line's a little short. It opened at 7, got bet down. But St. Mary's is one of the best net-rated defenses in the entire country. They got Aiden Mahoney, who's a freshman. Kid can absolutely flat-out ball. Best thing about St. Mary's is they have a lot of international white dudes, which is a lot better than American white dudes. So St. Mary's -6, we like that pick. We're also going to the WCC. We're going Zaga, USF over 159.5. San Francisco is coming off a double OT win on Saturday night against Santa Clara, which was an absolutely phenomenal game, by the way. But Zaga is putting up almost 100 points a game in their last six games. So
I love it.
Yeah, in college. So I love this over here. And I also got an NBA play for tomorrow. We're going Cavs -3.5 against Boston. Boston coming off that double OT game today. Have to go travel to Cleveland and play a Cleveland team, which they've lost 2 out of 3 against, and they almost lost the third one. So I like Cleveland -3.5 tomorrow.
All right, man. There you have it. You guys get that money. Send Temple of Hoop its dividends. And you guys be safe, and we are out of here.
Peace. Word.